Good morning. If I come up and poke you, I'm trying to see if you're real, okay? Not using it. So, no, we will not be recording this service. We record the earlier service, and we'll continue to do that for some time. And we're right now just following what the city says and what they recommend, and we encourage people and let you decide on some of you for coming to church and so on. You'll notice several things that the bulletin has everything in it. It has the hymns, so we don't need to use the hymnals. And with that, I ask that you take your bulletins with you, or put them over in the recycle, but don't put them back over there because we're using those continually. We'll use those for tomorrow night too. This week and next week, we'll at least be doing this, and then we're just going to kind of watch with the city and see what their recommendation is, the health department. The other thing that we'd like to note too is that it's a little different when it comes to communion and this. So when it comes time for communion, I will stand here. One elder would be with the wine, the blood over there, and another one will be over there. We'll ask you to come up, so you could come up, and you come to the middle, I'll give it to you, then you go there, and the other group come up. Now, as long as you're away, you can stand the aisle as long as you're 6 feet away from a group that you're not. If you guys can stand together, you can stand together. You guys get it. Families can stand together. So you'll come up, and I'll just dismiss yourselves to come on up. Does that make sense? Okay. And then if you're on this side, you go this way. If you're on that side, you go that way, and then there are receptacles for the individual cups that we have. We're not doing common cup right now. I will take, and it will be the time that I will wear the mask. I won't wear the mask during the service or during preaching. The same joke I used in the early service. You may prefer that I put this over my mouth during preaching so you can't hear me, but but I will use it during this time, and so will the elders. The elders will have gloves on. I'll drop into your hand the host, so that I'm not touching you and you're not touching me or the glove. And the elder will hand you the cup, okay? And when they hand you the cup, just grab it by the bottom, lay on the top. But again, they'll have gloves on when they do that. And for anyone who went to the drive-thru, I think we did the same thing there. They won't drop it, so they'll just hang on the top, okay? That's the way, it's a little odd. We're still in that odd time, that odd period, but that's what we'll be working through. Other than that, it may seem, if I do some quirky things, I apologize. I'm used to doing it because of live streaming. And so I'm trying to break my habit for this service not to do those things that I would normally do for live streaming. So I apologize for that. The offering, you'll notice, is in the back. So on your, if you didn't put it in there on the way out, you can put it there, or on the way in, you can put it on the way out. Other than that, the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you. And we thank Bonnie for being a trooper and doing all three services. Thank you, Bonnie, for that. And we thank the elders for everything they're doing too. So peace and blessings to you at this time. Thank you. I invite you to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider unworthiness, confess before God and one another, that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us to be your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of the faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, and a proselyte of Antioch. These are set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of the grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the Freeman, as it was called, and of the Cyrenes and the Alexandrians, and those of Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. When they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand as we sing the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am going, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in Jesus and your Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who rests in heaven, who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again from the dead, in the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life in the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you. First, several things. Blessed Mother's Day to our moms on this day. Second, as I said in the early service, It's good to see more people here. We had a few that came in that would help us in singing and keeping below the number of 10. But it's good to see you. House is awfully empty without brothers and sisters in Christ. And I look forward to that time when the house is even more full. Today, with the sermon, although we have John 14, I actually want to start with John 13, verse 1. And I want to use the NIV, which I usually, that's not the way I go. But she does a decent job here. Having loved his own, who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Our Lord Jesus Christ now shows them the full extent of his love. He's about to give them comfort because they are sorrowful. It says it several times. And it's amazing that he turns to give them comfort when he knows that he's about to face betrayal, denial, abandonment, mockery, torture, crucifixion, the pains of hell, and the pains of death. Most people giving comfort to someone else in the middle of their own troubles just usually doesn't happen. But our Lord Jesus Christ loves his disciples and loves you so much that he is there to show them the full extent of his love in the midst of their own sorrows. Now in chapter 14, the first words is, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And that word trouble has the idea there that comes from a sea that is boiling over and is in turmoil. Have you ever seen that where the water is just thrashing about and they look so violent? And the waters just boil with all the storms of the sea that are making it go. And it's saying, that's your heart. Do not let your heart be troubled in such a way that it's tossed about. And I think we all understand at one time or another where our hearts react that way. It has the peaks and the valleys of the oceans that go up and down the sea. We know what it's like to have fitful sleeps or have a sleepless night because of the troubles that we're going through. We know what it's like to be confused or in doubt, to be weary and worn out. This is the kind of sorrow that it's talking about here, that it says, let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. One of the problems with sorrow is this. A lot of times with sorrow, we forget what God's word actually said. Sometimes in sorrow, whether it's a health or some other crisis that someone's facing, people will say, well, Pastor, I know that Jesus loves me. I know that he died for me, but what? I feel so lost, so torn. When times of sorrow come, the church often forgets what it's learned. It forgets the promises of God. And our Lord Jesus Christ on this night says, and the gospel slips away. And our Lord Jesus Christ on this day says, believe in God and believe in me. Trust in me. In other words, focus in on what faith would focus in on our Lord and what it clings to, our Lord. How many of you put your faith in the pandemic? No one? How many of you put your faith in a president, a Congress, a mayor, a governor, a councilman, or woman? How come no one is today? Is that where you put your faith? Do you have your faith in them? Sometimes we do. Do you put your faith in healthcare workers? Now, remember, all of them have their vocations and they should carry those out. But do we put our final faith, do we put our faith in them? Trust in the Lord. Your faith is focused on Him. Remember what Peter said. Peter says, call me. And the Lord, by his word, said, come. And what did Peter do? He got out of the boat. He walked on the water. And then, what did he start doing? Ooh, here comes a wave. Oh, there's a storm. Oh, and then what did he do? Sank like a rock. We focus of our faith is on the one it clings to, and that is in Jesus. We put our trust and our faith not in the situation, but in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Faith has confidence in God and His promises. Faith is fed by our Lord on this day through the Word and through His Supper. Believe in God. And believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Look, our lives. So in answer to them, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. In our lives in this world are shifting, are they not? I mean, it shifts about. It's not stable. It's not always. We had so many plans for this year. Whether it was in stewardship or with the elders, or we had plans with the evangelism committee and the Sunday school, we had many, many plans with the youth and so on, all these plans, and then the world shook. It was an earthquake, and my house was over there, and now it's over here. In this world, things shift and move. But in my Father's house, there is a room for you. I knew a grandmother who lived in a house that her husband built. So Grandma and Grandpa lived in that house for many years. And Grandma stayed there even when Grandpa died. But the house was big. The grandchildren came to know it, though, and they enjoyed it. And the great-grandchildren got to know it and enjoy it. And that time with Grandma where you go over to your house and Grandma would give you things you weren't allowed to have at home. Ice cream for breakfast, for crying out loud. Cookies when the parents weren't looking. She'd have the grandkids working, and the kids were happy. Because they thought it was fun. Try that at home. Doesn't work as well. But it was a wonderful place for the grandchildren. But since the house and the property was so big, Grandma decided to sell. And the grandchildren weren't happy. And one of the granddaughters in particular was so upset. Why are you so upset? It was the stable place in the family. Mom and dad had been married, but then divorced, and then there was another family, and then another family, and then there were more divorces, and so on and so on. And the family, the granddaughter, only stable place was Grandma's. Grandma held on a little bit longer. Why tell you that story? Because as this world shifts and moves, as this world changes, there is a room, many rooms in our Father's house. And he goes on to say, if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Which I kind of like. It's like, well, duh, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you there was it was if it wasn't true. But the Father's house, there are many rooms. And I was asked to tell that some people are used to King James that says there's a mansion being prepared for you, and that if when they die, I'm supposed to do the sermon from King James that there's a mansion. So, okay, they get a mansion. Fine. But that doesn't change, and nothing can take that away. Because he goes to prepare a place for you. And you know what that's like, don't you? When someone special is coming, they go, a place is prepared. I love my wife. She was here early service. She knows I do this. I love her to death. But when someone's coming, she cleans the closet. How many of you as guests go and look at the closet? Any of you? I love her to death. But we think about all the things we have to do when somebody comes and we prepare for them. We have someone special coming soon, and I won't mention who, is coming to our house. So we had to do the yard, and we had to do repairs, and we had to paint, and we had to move things, and we had to clean things out, and we had to get rid of things, and we had to dust and vacuum. You get the idea. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. But you want to know what it sounds like when he goes to clean and repair and fix and prepare the place? This is what it sounds like. From Ephesians 5. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with his word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. He takes all the nasty words that we should have never said. He's taken those thoughts we should have never thought. He's taking those things we did that we regret that we ever did. And he takes our complete sinfulness and he washes and makes you and me clean by the giving of himself. His preparation is through the cross and the resurrection, that there is a place for you and for me, for the disciples, as they wait. Then he speaks further. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Remember, I said that in sorrow, oftentimes the church forgets what she's learned. Thomas forgot what he has learned in the last 3 years. The Lord has made it clear that he must suffer and where he's going. But in trouble, it's hard to remember those things. And then Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He doesn't say, I show the way. He says, I am the way. He doesn't say, I show you the truth. He says, he is the truth. Satan is a liar and is the father of lies, and he would deceive you and rob you if he could, but Jesus is the truth for you, the truth of salvation, and he is the life. He is the life. The wages of sin are death. The gift of God that we have in eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. That is the gift that he gives to us. Philip says, "Show me the Father." He says, "Philip, you've seen me. If you want to know the depth of the Father's love, look at me. You got it." This is what your God is all about. Take away Jesus, we have no way to the Father. Take away Jesus, we have no saving truth. Take away Jesus, we have no eternal life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I've gone to prepare a room for you. Okay, one more thing. Hang on with me. One of the habits I've noticed I've gotten, I think I preach a little bit longer when there aren't that many people here, so maybe I should put on the mask. But when I saw verse 12 I think is mind-blowing in a way. Because it says this, to you and to me, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me, who's he talking about? Okay. Whoever believes in me, us, you, me, will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Greater works you will do than Jesus. What? Does that make sense to anyone? You see, Jesus lived under the shadow of the cross. And Jesus proclaimed under that shadow of the cross. And he proclaimed all over Israel, all over that land, Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, that's where he proclaimed. And as the greater works that we do are not, they're not greater because we do more miracles or better miracles than Jesus, but because we now live after the resurrection. And we go far beyond Israel, Galilee, Judah, Jerusalem. We go all the way to Columbia, Missouri. And we proclaim Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the world. We proclaim, let not your hearts be troubled and in turmoil. For the Father has room for you and a place has been prepared. He has done this that we proclaim that this place, these pews, would not be empty, but that they, through you, would come to his house, to his home, to receive the forgiveness of sins in the body and blood of our Lord, the gifts of Jesus Christ, so that we may have the room that he prepared for us, and we may be where he is, eternally. That's pretty awesome. That's not a theological word, by the way. But I think it's a wonderful word. To the Lord, amen for the gifts and promises you have given. To the Lord, all praise and glory. Amen. We now stand for prayer.
We add in our prayer Charlene Coop, who will be undergoing surgery tomorrow. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty Father, everlasting God, your Son has revealed you to us as merciful Lord. Give to us your Holy Spirit that we may believe in him whom you have sent and do the greater works he has told us we will do in his name. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, you have promised to build up your church to be a holy priesthood, that your people might offer the spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving acceptable to you. Bless your church and bring all congregations back together again. Bless all pastors who proclaim Christ to us. Bless all church workers and those who prepare for full-time church vocations. And bless Joseph, who has been called to this congregation and will begin serving this summer. That your church may be supplied with faithful leaders and servants of your word. Lord, in your mercy, Holy God, your power brought all things into being, and still you preserve what you have made. Bless our President, Congress of these United States, our Governor, and all the elected and appointed civil servants, so that they may honor you and your purpose, establish order and justice, encourage virtue in protecting all life, give wisdom and moderation to them in their leadership for the well-being of the nation. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, establish the home and bless those who show us your love. Bless all mothers and the children in their care. Bless all families and make their homes places of blessing and love where your word is spoken. Forgiveness reigns and love is displayed. Give us good examples to inspire youth to all that is good and pure and to seek after these things. Lord, in your mercy, O merciful Father, you have compassion upon the sick and those who need and have promised not to ignore them in their affliction. Turn back the pandemic across the globe and give us relief. Bless the sick in healing those who suffer and strengthen the patients and the dying with peace. Hear us on behalf of those who have requested our prayers. We especially pray on this day, O Lord, for Olive, who is in hospice, for those hospitalized, including Bob and Tyler, for those undergoing surgery, including Charlene Coop, and for Joyce, for those recovering from surgery, illness, or injury, including Miriam, Archie, Keith, Norma, Lou, Roger, Lynn, Emma, Carol, Kira, Barbara, Betty, Sophia, Larry, Don, Richard, Michaela, Sue, Bob, Jim, Leslie, Ray, Ralph, Robin, Jerry, Beth, Linda, Phyllis, and Jane. Be with those continuing with health issues, including Erica, Jeff, Ken, Nicole, Arla, David, Russell, Amy, Sammy, Carol, Brandon, Alvin, Yvonne, Farah, Michelle, Lee, Michael, Julia, Jessica, Dick, Jane, Charlene, Weston, Tabitha, Clara, Lavonio, Jessica, Mary, Margaret, Emma, Alicia, Faith, Kylie, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Roberta, Bill, Shirley, Haley, Emma, Sarah, Anthony, Brady, Rowena, Sharon, Chelsea, and Ruth Ann. Be with those managing the effects of cancer, including Marriott, Beth, Stephanie, Connie, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Jerry, Brianna, Linda, Lewis, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Shelley, Susan, Todd, Anna, Ron, Rachel, Teresa, Nancy, Sue Ellen, Sonia, Frank, Larry, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Kent, Al, Bethany, and Jan. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone. A trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally, because he has now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death he has redeemed us from the bondage to sin and death, and by his resurrection he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body and giving into death, and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strength to preserve you in body and soul, to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.